Lesson 75 in the book of Matthew, as we continue our dispensation view in the book of Matthew, we left off with verse 30, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, and it reads, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth, heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be filled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24, verse 30, we just read about this. Then the signs shall appear, then shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven. He's not talking so much, and last week, you know, I made mention an era that Jesus Christ comes back down right here in the mid-trib. He does not come back. So it's not talking about that period. It's talking about when he comes back over here at the end of the tribulation period. So the appearing in the, he's not talking about that appearing in the middle week as a sign of the Son of Man. He's going to reappear when he comes back over in the tribulation period. That's what Matthew is talking about here. As he's portraying, he comes back and he's ready to battle in a battle of Armageddon. He's ready to take over the earth again. And verse 31, the clouds of heaven that he comes back are no doubt are the angels. Now, you know, there's a lot of studies on angels and their clouds and that type of thing, but they are angels, and they are angels in verse 31. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." Now, the issue is gathering together elect by the angels. Again, this is not the catching away that was in a mystery program of what we understand to be a pre-trib rapture. Okay, we know rapture is not found in your body. It's called the catching away in the body of Christ. The rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with the trump of God. But in 1 Thessalonians, as you know, 1 Thessalonians, Christ himself comes and gathers the saints. That's what we looked at, you know, we compared some things. He comes. But here he sends his angels to gather the saints. Okay, he'll be over here. He gathers the saints. And the angels have the trumpet. Is that what you just read? They have a trumpet. And if you want to see the prophecy, you go back, be turning to Isaiah chapter 27. Go to Isaiah chapter 27. The elect in the passage there is Israel, the believing remnant. That's what you're that's what we're studying out here. I hope by now you understand that you are not found, you as a member of the body of Christ are not found in the book of Matthew. Despite whatever you believe, you're not there. And it will be faithful. It will be the faithful remnant, the elect, his chosen in Israel, that scattered abroad, and Christ gathers them back. Where did I tell you to turn? Isaiah 27, right? Isaiah 27. Verse 12. "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river into the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O you children of the body of Christ." What does it say? Israel. Verse 13. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem." Now, who's he talking to there? Israel, isn't he? And where are they coming? To Jerusalem. They're coming out there. But what are they going to hear? A trumpet. A great trumpet. Trumpets are used in the militaries, okay? Many of you know that. You hear a trumpet in the morning to get you out of bed. You hear a trumpet to put you to bed. You know, those are terms, and Israel's very understanding that you hear a trumpet, and they play different things. Now, even today, I believe, as you heard the first trumpet, we might look at that later, but God talks about a sound of a trump of God. A trump of God is a voice. It's not a trumpet, okay? And when you heard faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God, you heard the sound of God's word that saved you, okay? And from that point on, you're in a ready state and ready and should be waiting and looking, should be walking circumspectly. You understand what I'm saying? And when you hear that last trump, you're ready. You're out of here. So you haven't heard that last trump yet. They're looking for trumpets, sounds, certain sounds. I can't, you know, keep thinking about, not thinking about when Moses and Joshua went up in the mount and Moses received the Ten Commandments, right? And they heard drums down there beating. And what did Joshua say? I heard their war drums. And Moses said, they're dancing. See, that different beat, that type of thing. But look at Isaiah chapter 20, 26, verse 20. Isaiah 26, 20. Come, my people, enter thou into my chambers. This is his second coming. And shut thou doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a moment, a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Isaiah 31, 5, you don't have to turn there, talks about the birds flying over and he's going to defend Israel. He's going to defend Israel. Or excuse me, Jerusalem. And he said he's going to defend it. Verse 21 of Isaiah 26, 21 says, For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. They're going to see him come out of his place, and that's what we're talking about when they see him come out of the city of God. He's going to come out of his place, and he's going to do what? Punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth also shall disclose her blood, and there shall be no more cover for her slain. That's not going to be pretty over there. So when these people say, well, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. You ever heard, you know what I'm talking about? Well, can't wait. You better be thinking if you're in that program over there and if you're lost, you're going to run to the mountains and hope the rocks fall over you. Go to Isaiah, Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Right after Joel. Amos chapter 9, verse 14. Amos chapter 9, verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of the land which I have given thee, saith the Lord God. When does this happen?
It hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened. And is it, when it happens, is it going to be done right, according to what you just read?
Right.
Okay? And not that we understand that happened in 1948, but people says that they'll fight you over this. That said, in 1948, Israel was put in a land just like God prophesied right here. That's not right, guys. And the land that God is going to put in, when God gathers the Israel over in ages to come, he gathers them from the four winds of the earth, the heaven, that's a compass, north, east, south, west, wherever they're at. He gathers them and he puts them in that land. Now, what land would that be? Palestine. When God told Abraham to get up and walk, Abraham walked the boundaries of that land. Now, it just didn't take him less than 3 hours across the land. He walked that whole area, and that's Palestine. That's what God gives the nation Israel, just like he promised. And nobody, no man, is going to be able to take Israel and put them over there when God's not doing that today. God's going to do that. And this is, you know, I don't sound ugly, but you know what apostasy is? We talk about that a lot.
Yeah, it's incorrect scripture.
Okay. There's people not only in religion system, Christianity, but Judaism, you know, Islam or whatever the case may be, they're apostated. They're believing a lie.
Right.
And God tells us today, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're lost. So whether you're Jew or Gentile, you have to hear the gospel of the grace of God. Now I know what you're going to say, and I know what I would say. Well, Israel's God's chosen people. Or is that going on today, that he's God's chosen people?
No.
What, God's not dealing with a people today. He's dealing a body. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. God will gather his elect, his people, and planting them in the land and the kingdom. You with me? Now, I don't care how much you can support somebody and pray for somebody and all that stuff. You know, it ain't going to change God's mind. I'm sorry. When you believe a lie, you're going to follow that lie. You know, I played a song this morning that I probably shouldn't listen to, that Rihanna and Eminem, you know, there's something about, I'm going to stand here and watch you burn because I like the way you lie. And that's about abuse. You know, that man is really lying to that girl, and she's just standing there going to, you know, you're going to watch me burn because I believe the lie that you're, you know, you're going to make it better, honey. I'm going to do it no more. You know what I mean? That's what's going on in the world today. You're going to stand there and watch somebody burn and go to hell because they believe in a false gospel.
That's right.
That, I mean, that should wake you up. I'm like, but honey, I like the tune. You know, and Sherry said, you know what that... If you listen to those words, I said, yeah, but I like the tune. So I'm changing the tunes in my mind. I don't want to stand here and watch you burn. I don't want to see you go to hell. And I'm not going to lie to you because this is what you can do. Get out of it. Man, you could take the world and, you know, and change it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. But there's a lie system going on out there. And you know what? It's from the beginning.
Yeah, wouldn't he have done the same way?
And then today, in the dispensation of grace of God, people's got you believing this system in order to get saved. You ever find out how funny it is now that you come to some knowledge of truth, and God says to have wisdom and understand, knowledge and understanding? You know, that's what we were trying to refine our soul and our mind to be. That fact that somebody said, hey, yeah, you can trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, but you've got to go back to Matthew and Mark, Luke, and John, and you got to do what Jesus said. What did Jesus say in the dispensation of grace of God? He's got an appointed apostle, Paul, and Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. You better know how you study the Bible, guys. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound and a trump, and he shall gather together his elect from four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Once I mentioned about the four winds. You know what that is? That's directions. North, east, south, west. That's not hard to understand. And when you're talking about heaven, what heaven did Israel know at this time? What prayer did we look at that they should pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They're praying for heaven to come down here.
Right.
We're not praying for heaven to come down. We're praying to get out, go to heaven.
Right.
You know, Matthew 32 through 33 that we read. The parable of fig tree. When ye, verse 33 says, well, verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, who's he talking there? Israel. When ye, the little flock, When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. When you shall see these things, what things? Come on, talk to me a minute. What things is Israel to see? What does verse 32 say? When yet the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. When he sees the budding of the fig tree.
That's Israel.
Okay? And when you see that fig tree bud, that second coming is near. The second coming is near. And this generation that sees the fig tree bud shall not pass until all things are filled. You haven't seen the fig tree bud yet. And once again, I know what they say. Oh, yes, you did. Israel's in the land, and it's producing, and it's budding. See how confusing that is? People will make you believe that, and that's not true. It's talking about the second coming over here. And yet, if it was true, where's the Lord at? Does the Lord lie? He's not going to lie. Look, in other words, the generation that sees the fig tree bud is going to be the generation that sees Christ Jesus come back. That's what it just said. Look at it again if you don't believe me. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know the summer's nigh. Didn't we just read something over there? Pray. You should pray that the winter's not here. Mm-hmm. When you flee in that mid-trib. Pray that it's not winter. Because what happens when you go out in the wintertime?
Freeze.
You know, we talked about in the Oregon Trail. They left around April. Because it took them a long time. They didn't leave out in September. Well, it's nice out today. Clouds clear. We're going to Oregon on a wagon train. You know what would happen by the time you got to Denver? You're not going to make it to Denver. You're going to freeze to death. So you pray. But now the summer's nigh. And he says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even the door. They're going to see that, gather his elect, and set up his kingdom. That's what they're looking for, but they got to see that fig tree bud. And the parable is designed to give comfort and cause the faithful remnant over here to keep watching and waiting. If you was going through that tribulation period, and they are, okay? Would that be joy and hope? No. Wouldn't you want to know there's some hope and joy? Listen, today in the dispensation of grace of God, you know that we talked about in our prayer request, praise God, we live in a sin-cursed world. What is your hope?
Jesus.
You know, get out of here, right? Whether it's the death or catch me out of here, I'm ready. That's my hope. I've got something to watch for, wait for. I'm ready. There's nothing you can say or do to me right now. I'm ready to go. Take me. You know? So that's the same comfort that he's telling that little flock. I'm going to close this chart up for a second. He's explaining that over in Matthew. Let's go and go over here. He's explaining that when you go through that tribulation period, little flock, and you're going to run to the wilderness that we just read. He's also saying, hey, when you see the fig tree bud, you know it's nigh. It's coming. Verse 33. This passage, once again, is abused in the fact that in 1948, when Israel, Jews, went back and moved into the land, what they failed to realize was the interruption of the prophecy program. See, a lot of people don't recognize what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. That has interrupted that kingdom program. Remember we talked about the trees of the Bible? Go to Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. The trees of the Bible. There's many trees in the Bible, so don't, you know, if I forgot about the sycamore tree or the chestnut tree, that type of thing, just don't, you know, worry about it. But there's four trees in the Bible that represents the nation Israel. Judges chapter 9, verse 15. No, verse 8. verse 8. Judges 9, verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to promote over trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to promote over trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the trees, devour the cedars of Lebanon. You got four trees there. You got the olive, fig, vine, and bramble. That olive tree represents the spiritual life of Israel. That's Zechariah chapter 4 and Romans chapter 11. So you got the spiritual life olive tree. You know the olive branch and olive trees and olive oil, and you know what I mean? That's a symbol. That's who the spiritual life of Israel. Then you got the fig tree there. The fig tree represents the religious life of Israel. They are supposed to have been the fig, the sweetness, the life. What happened when Adam and Eve fell in the garden? What did they cover themselves with?
Fig leaves.
Okay, you know what they did? They covered themselves with a religion. That's what we do when we want to go out here and before you understand the truth, you cover yourself with religion. And then the vine tree is the national life of Israel. They brought out, he brought them out of Egypt and planted them. Isaiah, Psalms chapter 80, we looked at that last week. And Isaiah chapter 5. He takes them out there and he plants them in a true vine. And then you have the bramble. The bramble, is anything good about a bramble, Drew?
Cast a shadow.
That's apostate Israel. And it's under the Antichrist. That's who they follow. So when you look at their timeline up here, this line up here represents true Israel, what God planted.
Right.
And if we had room, there'd be another line up here, what Satan has planted, and pulled the nation Israel down to the apostate and the reigning over them, where they was not producing fruit, and they forgot about who they was in Christ. Go to Luke chapter 21. So, you know, you talk about that. And it's very, very important to understand that God does that, not man. Luke chapter 21. You probably never thought this so much studying the book of Matthew, did you? You know, you just read through it and just... It's all to me, but it's not, is it?
Yeah, that was key on the judges. Reminded me of the trees.
Trees.
I was a little lost on the fig tree.
Yeah, the fig tree is religious life. So when Jesus Christ came, look at this for a second. We're talking about a fig tree. Where did I say to go?
Luke
21, verse 25.
25, did you say verse?
Yeah. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with, was it perplexity? The sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Mm-hmm. And shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these, in a cloud, things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, and for your redemption draw, what? Nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. This is a comparison of what we just read. And they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves, summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. You remember when these things come to pass, look up and lift your heads. You remember over in Acts chapter 1?
Redemption of night.
Okay. You remember over in Acts chapter 1? Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And when they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, you remember what happened there on the road there? The two guys walking? The Lord was with them. And they looked up steadfast towards heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, what we just read. Okay? Why the angel of the Lord asked them, why glazing? It's not time to look up. What he's trying to tell, why you look up? It's not time to look up and wait for the Lord to come back. Right here in Acts chapter 1, it's coming back over there. This was not the time for them to look up because the signs have not happened yet. You with me? Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. When that generation sees the second coming of Jesus Christ and the sign of the fig tree budding, that religious life in Israel will soon be infiltrated by the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 8. When the Antichrist will once start up again the animal sacrifices in the middle week of the tribulation. See? When the catching away is taken out of here, we're no longer here, everybody believes a lie, God goes back dealing with the nation Israel. They got a sin debt to pay for. And the Antichrist is going to take that fig tree, if you will, or that religious system and say, hey, I'm God, here I am, we're doing the sacrifices. And heaven and earth, verse 35, shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In the middle of the week of tribulation, the Antichrist is going to take the sacrifices of God, and he was doing them for a while, and then he does away with them. I'm God. They follow that religion. Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Shall pass away. This is the comforting and reassuring words of God, testimony for the tribulation saints, guys. We're about no matter how bad it gets, he's trying to tell them, don't know how bad it, God's word says, when you see these signs, he is near. Be faithful, hold on. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Hold on. Now, we have words today and for the dispensation of grace that comforts us. He tells us we're safe from the wrath to come. You know, he tells us keep looking, keep waiting. Grace teaches us, okay? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. You know, that's a hope, isn't it? So we do have comfort. That's comfort to me. You know, it may not be comfort to many out there, especially to the lost. Matthew chapter 21. We looked at this several lessons ago, but look at this. You might find this interesting. Matthew 21, verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany. And he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth, for how long?
Forever.
And presently the fig tree withered away. Now, if you know what we've been studying all this time, and you know the four trees, fig tree was the nation Israel supposed to produce fruit.
Right.
The religious system was supposed to be sweet fruit. And when the Lord came down out here, what did he find? Nothing. He hungered in that nation Israel. That religious system did not feed him. And the fig tree represents the natural life of Israel. And Christ cursed that fig tree and said, Let no fruit grow on it forever. So, could the nation itself be replanted and restored if he cursed it?
Not the religious one.
No, it cannot. You cannot go over, if Christ cursed it and said, No fruit on this tree, who in the world's picking it up and planting it somewhere else to see it bud?
No.
It's not God. Not God. If it is cursed forever, it cannot be restored. Now, we talk about in the past Noah. He had three. God told Noah, he said, replenish the earth, didn't he? Be blessed and be fruitful and replenish. And he commissioned his children. Right? Was it Ham, Shem, and Japheth? Okay? And he blessed them to go be fruitful. God did. Okay? Could anybody curse them not be fruitful? No. But one of them had a child called Canaan. And Noah said, curseth Canaan. He couldn't say, curseth Ham, Japheth. You know what I mean? He couldn't do that because you're not going to curse something God blessed. Now you can try all you want to. But you're not going to do it. But here he said, there's not no fruit going to happen in that fig tree. And he just destroyed. You know what he just did?
Destroyed the religious system.
He destroyed a millennium and preliminary view. If you believe that you could take that fig tree and replanted it. But the system, the fact that Christ will come back and set up the kingdom with Israel as the head of the nation. That's what it's telling. That religious system that God cursed is not going to be fruitful. You with me? But who's going to try to make it fruitful?
Satan.
He takes that religious system, see, and he puts it over here. But the fig tree is the religious system alive of Israel, and Christ cursed it. So when the Antichrist sees it, he comes on the scene, he reestablishes that religious life in Israel. Come, I'm God. You know, he gets them back together. And what happens to the religious life in Israel is has been cursed. God cursed it. Christ cursed it, not to bring forth. But when he takes it over here, the Antichrist, I hope I'm making sense here. When the Antichrist takes the religious system, he puts them back under law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what in the world did law do for anybody?
Expose the
need
for a Savior.
But what did it bring, life or death?
Death.
Okay. Wasn't the Mosaic law system, Israel's system, religious system? We learned some things in Galatians. If you read Galatians, there's nothing about law was any good. Wasn't the Mosaic law Israel's religion, yes or no?
Yes.
That Antichrist puts that system back in effect over here to get people back together, Israel back together. The ones that don't believe it runs to the, you know, because God is not going to enforce that Mosaic system there. The Antichrist is. He's going to offer sacrifices and stuff. What about the sacrifice here?
So
that's the last one.
And so he's saying, I am not going to. Here's what Jesus Christ says. I'm not going to use that old covenant anymore. I'm going to make a what?
New covenant
with them. And the old law and the old ministration of death, but I'm going to replace it with a new covenant. So he can't take that old Israel, that rebellious apostate Israel, and make anything good out of it. So what does he do? He informs the little flock over here, and he takes that little flock, and they become Israel. You know, in Romans, over time again, when he says, "And all of Israel shall be saved," he's not going to save lost Israel. Can I say, and all the members of the earth is going to be saved today?
Nope.
You know that ain't true. So what this little remnant here is the whole nation Israel.
Right.
You with me?
Israel only represents saved people.
And he takes that, not saved people, saved, for the nation Israel.
Yeah.
He takes this and he plants it right over here. And he makes it. Just like he planted the religious system over here. When he took them out of Egypt, but it became what?
Apostated.
He came to them and he looked at them. He goes, "Where's the fruit?" There was no fruit in the nation Israel. But you know what's sad? People's got you in that system today, getting saved, trying to get saved, and saying you're prospering, you're budding, you're doing what God is doing, and God is not doing that today. Now that's where you rightly divide the word of truth, and that'd make enemies with people. You know that. Your own family members are like, "Don't talk Bible with me." You know, they make themselves out to be spiritual Israel, and God's not doing that today. Read Romans chapter 11, verses 25 on. God's not doing that today. God's going to take a new covenant with with the nation Israel. You find that in Jeremiah 31. You got to go to the old covenant to find out what he's doing in the new covenant.
And isn't it funny they're using the prospering of material items?
And the old covenant will be put away because of the gender of the cursed. He cursed that fig tree. And can I share this with you? You're not a covenant people.
Amen.
You know, many of us have been in covenant theology and swore up and down, "This is me." And it's not you. You're not a covenant people. God didn't make no covenant with Gentiles or the body of Christ.
That's right.
Now, when these people see the Antichrist reestablish that old Levitical system over there, they can count the days in Daniel chapter 8 to when Christ is going to come, and it's just a short time. See how all this is fitting in with Matthew? The parable of the fig tree is very, very important, isn't it? You gotta admit to it. It's very important.
Very important.
Let me share this with you. Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. "But no man..." "But of that day, the hour, no man knoweth, no man, nor the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Now who's going to know that day?
God the Father.
Not the angels in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only God the Father. Now who's Jesus Christ portraying to be here? Matthew portraying the King. Shouldn't he know those things? But when the angels... Look, they're not angels in heaven going to know this time. But he just explained them when it's going to happen over here. What to look for. Go to Mark chapter 32 for a second. Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, verse 32. Look what Mark says here. Now, if Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as King, who does Mark portray Jesus Christ as?
Servant.
And who does Luke portray Jesus Christ as?
Man,
right? And then who's John portrays Jesus Christ as?
God.
And when you understand that, Mark portrays Jesus Christ as a servant. Not a king, not a man, not God, but a servant. Look at verse 30.
What chapter are we on
tonight? Mark 13. And this is parable, you know, it's about the fig tree. And it's in heaven and earth, verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You have the words of God forever. Verse 32, but of that day and that hour no man know, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. What did Mark just add?
Son.
Okay, the Son don't know. Now who's the Son? Was that the little S or big S? Now who does Mark portray Jesus Christ as? If you're a servant, Mark portrays Christ as a servant. Look at John 15, 15. John 15, 15. I'm going to share something with you. It gets me in trouble all the time. Because I'm supposed to be a servant at work. Sometimes I don't be a servant. I want to know it all. And it gets me in trouble all the time. Look, henceforth, John 15, 15. Verse 14 says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You want to be somebody's friend? What are you going to do? Make all things known that the Father told you. But what does he say about a servant? Servant don't know. So Mark puts the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant doesn't know what the Lord is going to do. Why? Remember the old, well, just like we talked about yesterday in a way. Jump. What's your next thing? How high? You don't say, well, why I got to jump? Jump. How high? Do as they say, not as they do. You know, when you're a minor, when you understand things as a young child, you point at your children and you say, do it, or else. You know, right? But if you're an adult, you kind of got a different thing. You want to act like an adult, in a way. But look, the Lord or Master doesn't take the servant into his confidence about what he's going to do. He's a servant. We're servants. You with me? So he just tells him what he wants done, and a servant does it. When my boss tells me what he wants done, I don't sit there in front of everybody on that dock up there and say, but boss, why can't he do it? I say, okay, done. You know, it's hard to swallow sometimes, you know what I mean? When you got other people that are not doing nothing. But he comes to you and say, can you do that? I'm the servant. I'm not the boss. And the reason I get in trouble sometimes, I say, wait a minute, what if I'd move this trailer first and such bring this trailer in here, and then I'll just stay on the dock. You know what I mean? That's not my job. You know, I get, because the people, you know, I realize sometimes it's not my job to think if I'm a servant. True?
It's your
job to do. And he tells us, isn't it interesting that the account of the life of Jesus Christ that pictures him as the servant says the Son doesn't know either? I don't know if you're getting this or not. It makes sense to me. And then then Mark puts it in because he is illustrating the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're servants for people, you gotta bring yourself low, don't you? You know, you gotta say, oh. You know, yes. You know, look at Philippians chapter 2 right quick. Philippians chapter 2.
Is there a parable of fig tree in the other two books?
Philippians chapter 2. We just saw one in Luke, we saw in Mark, we saw one in Matthew. Matthew chapter, excuse me, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, Paul said this. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Now, you're supposed to have the mind of Christ on, right? Who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. That's what the Lord did. And isn't it wonderful to know today in the dispensation and grace of God, we can humble ourselves and put the mind of Christ on. Got one more passage, Galatians chapter 4. Now this is in contrast to what we're talking about. So this is Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Number 4. Now I say, chapter 4, verse 1, that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. Today, you can, even if you're a servant, you're still under the Lord of all. And you have heirs with that. Father, we do thank you things you give us to us freely. We thank you for the study you've given us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.